Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, Chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise be to God. Well, we're going to continue our teaching on the ministry gifts and their purpose. Again, the ministry gifts and their purpose. Now, we have been teaching on the ministry gifts for the past few weeks. And one might ask the question, why are we teaching on this subject? Well, we're teaching on it because the Word of God requires us to teach on it. Please go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, that's 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's see what the Word of God says about this particular subject. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4. And it says, Simon Peter, a bond servant. Now, if you don't know what a bond servant is one who gives himself up to the will of another. So Simon Peter gave himself up to the will and the teachings and the commandments of God. So it says, Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtain or who have received like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things, please underline all things, that pertain to life and godliness. Please underline life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. So we see here, it says in verse number 3, it says, as his divine power has given to us all things. So as God has given us all things, that means the ministry gifts are part of the all things. And then it says that pertain to life and godliness. So the all things pertain to life and godliness. And since the ministry gifts are part of the godliness, then we should have a knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. So that is another reason, or the main reason, why we're studying the ministry gifts, because God has given us all things. All things, not some, but all things. And all these things pertain to life and the things that pertain to the godly things. Amen. So that is the reason why we're studying them. Amen. Almighty God wants us to know all things that pertain to life and godliness, and knowing the ministry gifts and their purpose are included in all those things. They pertain to the knowledge of the godly things. Amen. And every believer, let me repeat, and every believer should have a basic knowledge of them and their purpose and functions, because the word tells us we should. Amen. And being a teaching ministry, we at Kansas City Christian Faith Center are going to see that you have a basic understanding of all these things. You will not be able to stand before the Father and say you did not know, because the only thing we want to hear when we stand before the Father is, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. We don't want to hear anything else. Well, why didn't you teach on this? Or why didn't you do that? No, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now, do I know all things? Of course I don't. Am I perfect? No, I'm not. Do I make mistakes? Of course I do. But there is one thing that I can promise you, is that we will learn together, and the grace and peace of God will be multiplied to you if you stay with the word. Amen. It will be multiplied to you. Now, let's open our Bibles to the scripture that we have been using as our foundational scripture for our teaching on the ministry gifts. So open your books to Ephesians chapter 4. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 11. And it says, and he himself, Christ Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, we had finished our first ministry gift, which was apostles. And we learned that the apostle is the sent one, the one that has been sent out. And contrary to what is said by many, the ministry gift of the apostle is still in operation today, according to Ephesians 4:13. Amen. According to Ephesians 4:13, the apostle is still in operation today. Amen. Now, please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 28. And we're going to read verses 28. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to read verse 28. Excuse me. And it says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. The prophet is an authoritative teacher of God's word. Amen. The prophets did not inherit the office, nor received it by human appointment. Man did not choose him, but they were chosen, prepared, and called of God. Again, they were chosen, they were prepared, and called of God. The prophet speaks for or on behalf of another. He is the mouthpiece or the spokesman for God. Amen. He is the mouthpiece or the spokesman of God. Now, we ended last week with the question, are there prophets today? Are prophets functioning in the body of Christ today? There have been the difference in the body of Christ. And that's one thing Satan wants to do. He wants to keep confusion and strife in the body of Christ. He does not want us on one accord. Amen. So let's go to the Bible, the Word of God, because the Word of God should be our final authority on any question that we might have in regarding to the Word of God. First, go to the book of Romans, chapter 3. Romans, chapter 3. And let's read verse number 4. And it simply says, let God be true. It says, let God be true, but every man a liar. Now, let's answer our question, are prophets functioning in the body of Christ today? So go back to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 11 through 13. And let's see if the prophets are functioning today. Verse number 4. And it says, and he himself, Jesus Christ, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come, underline, we all come to the unity of the faith, underline, unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. So the question was, are prophets in the body of Christ today? It tells us, first of all, God gave some to be prophets. And then he gave us the reason why he gave them. He says, for the equipment of the saints. Amen. And we're the saints to equip us. Why? For the work of the ministry, for the work that we should be doing in terms of the ministry. It says, for the edifying or the building up or the strengthening of the body of Christ. And then it tells us if the prophets are still in operation today. It says, till we all come, until we all come, until we all come, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, my question is, are we all in unity of the faith? Is every Christian born believer Are we all in the unity of the faith? Of course we aren't. So if we're not, then these ministry gifts are going to stay in operation until we all come. Because once we all come into the unity of the faith, guess what? Then we won't need these gifts because we are there. We're on one, speaking the same thing, saying the same thing, doing the same thing, but we're not there. So yes, these ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, and pastor teacher, they're all still in operation today. Again, have we all come into the unity of the faith? No, we have not. So these gifts are still in operation today. These ministry gifts will be necessary until Jesus comes for his church. To stand in the office of a prophet, one is first of all a minister of the gospel, separated and called to the ministry with the calling of God upon his life. Amen. With the calling of God upon his life. The prophet is a ministry gift. He is a first and foremost a pastor or a teacher of the word. Amen. He's first and foremost, he is a pastor or a teacher or both of the word of God. There are no prophets that are among what we call the laity or the congregation or churchgoers, because a prophet is one who is called by God to the full-time ministry. Amen. And a layman is not called to the full-time ministry. Amen. But that does not make you a prophet, because a layman can prophesize. That means that you have been just used by the Holy Spirit for that particular time to do his particular service, to prophesy for the needs of the body of Christ at that particular time. But that does not make you a prophet. Amen. Paul encouraged the church at Corinth to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. When you prophesy today, you are not foretelling of things to come, but you are speaking unto men for edification, for exhortation, and for comfort. Again, when you prophesy today, you are not foretelling of things to come, but you are speaking unto men for the edification, the exhortation, and the comfort. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to read verses 1. We're going to skip 2 and go to 3. So 1 and 3. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning with verse number 1. And it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. It says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Let me repeat that. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. To stand in the office of a prophet, one must have a more consistent manifestation of at least 2 of the revelation gifts. Let me repeat that. To stand in the office of a prophet, one must have a more consistent manifestation of at least 2 of the 3 revelation gifts. And the revelation gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, or discerning of spirits. Again, the revelation gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Remember, we discussed those in our previous teachings on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And a prophet must have at least two of these gifts consistently manifesting in their lives. Now, the three revelation gifts, again, were the word of wisdom, which is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose in the mind and will of God. It always speaks of the future. Then we have the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge, which again is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God of facts in the mind of God concerning people, places, or things. It's always present or past tense. Again, the word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God of facts in the mind of God concerning people, places, or things. It always is present or past tense. And finally, discerning of spirits. Again, it is a supernatural insight into the realm of the spirit, seeing and hearing in the spirit realm. Discerning of spirits, again, is a supernatural insight into the realm of spirits, seeing and hearing in the realm of the spirits. Amen. So a prophet has to have at least two of those revelation gifts consistently being manifested in their lives. Amen. Now, a prophet is one who has visions and revelations. Again, a prophet is one who has visions and revelations. There are several types of revelations and visions. The highest type of revelation and lowest type of vision are similar. Let me repeat that. The highest type of revelation and the lowest type of visions are similar. And sometimes you cannot tell the difference. That's another reason why you should be filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit brings all things back to your remembrance. Amen. So we have what we call a spiritual vision. A spiritual vision. This is where a person has a vision in his spirit, or he is allowed to see in his spirit. This is the first or the lowest type of visions. So let me give you an example. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. And it says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank." So we see that when Saul's eyes were open, he saw no one. Saul's eyes were shut when he had this vision and saw Jesus. Now, Saul didn't see the Lord with his physical eyes. He saw into the spirit realm with his eyes closed. Amen. The Bible says that Saul was without sight for 3 days, so he couldn't have seen Jesus with his physical eyes. Later, Ananias prayed for Saul that he might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. The next type of vision is called a trance. It is called a trance. When one falls into a trance, their physical senses are suspended for a moment, and their soul is susceptible only to the vision imparted by God. Amen. Well, you know what? I am just about out of time for today, but I am certainly not out of message. But please join us next week when we continue our teaching on the ministry gifts. But until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.